One of the people that I spoke to said that you encouraged a number of the young men to go to
Bible college. I think we took six down there. Some came back right away, none of them. But it was really a marvelous thing. Mm-hmm. Those young men, they were heroes. Man, people, those white people had grabbed them up and take them out to dinner and took them to their different churches. The transition was just too great. Los Angeles life.
Sure, from the rural reservation.
And man, I think it would have been better if the people hadn't have made so much over them. They put them more at ease, but they all came back. None of them finished. Most of them, one or two of them, didn't follow on with the Lord, but most of them followed on. Harold Carpenter was the strong voice. He was a tremendous evangelist, and he was responsible. Sylvester knows his gun. It just passed. You know anything about the funeral?
No.
Anyway, Sylvester.
I didn't even know he passed away.
Carol.
Oh, Monday.
Harold Carpenter reached a lot of people, you know. And he came.
Well, he took down the Benny Jefferson and Calvin Jefferson and Frank LaForge and Francis Lincoln.
And Harold, didn't Harold go in that bunch? He went
Harold up. Carpenter was in.
Yeah, that was
and
six.
One more. Did I name six?
I think you named six. Was it Raymond Beaker?
No, he didn't take any pictures.
Raymond.
He didn't go to school.
Big Day?
We took Ike one time. That's why I mixed up. So. Yeah.
What, do you have an idea when that was approximately? What year that was?
Yeah, 1951.
51 when these men went over.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's they went to Life Bible College.
They went to Life Bible College.
Okay. And so of the five or six, Harold was the only one, though, that established a church from his teaching.
Yeah, but there's two or three of those other people that have not been... an aggressive evangelist, but they've been a strong voice in the church.
I see.
They were really the foundation of the church anyway.
Tommy Carpenter's pretty much taken over Harold's church.
He's a great guy, a nice boy. Getting in there, and Melissa and that whole family there. It's great. Mary lives just right over here, close to us, you know.
So Harold established his church about 52?
No.
Somewhere.
I don't really know. When Harold, there were six
that... They started the church shortly after he was converted in Lodge Grass.
Went up into Wyola.
In 1952 or 3, something like that.
Okay.
I think when Harold got saved in Hal Hook's house, one night there were about six fellows, all young men, went over and knelt at this Davenport. And all of them got saved. They gave their heart to Jesus that night. And Harold, I think, went from there, went up in Wyola to Hunts the Arrow. Alan Hunts, and what was her name? I forget. And went up there and prayed. And they prayed with him and sought the Lord, and he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mm. That's my best knowledge that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went out preaching. He didn't come around us very much. We'd see one another once in a while, but he had his own thing going, and it was mm-hmm. wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And probably his voice was probably the strongest Indian voice probably that we've had.
Mm.
He reached all these reservations, all
over.
Yes. Yeah.
And then shortly after him, though, was the development. See, one of the things I'm trying to get is the chronology of the churches. So shortly after him was the Black Lodge Church, Phillips Church, or
Philip it? And he, they were kind of some Philip. I think Harold started first, and then Philip started his church after Harold.
Uh-huh.
So, you know. But it was long, kind of in the same...
Same time period.
Same, you know, within... You know.
Philip was later than Harold.
And then, and then Sylvester Knows His Gun, I think, got saved under Carpenter's ministry.
Mm-hmm.
These two guys, this may be of no significance, but these two guys had such a grievance against one another.
Mm.
Wherever they met, they always had a fisticuff.
Is that right? Fight. Huh.
And Sylvester told me that after Harold got saved, they were down in Sheridan somewhere, and he saw him at a distance, and he says, "Boy, I'm getting ready." But when I got close to Harold, he said there was such a difference in him that all that, he didn't describe it as hate. It was just something that these guys had. He said all that fight in me all disappeared, and we walked up and hugged one another.
Hmm.
And then, of course, Sylvester got saved, went to Lame Deer, and started a church over there.
Mm-hmm.
Been preaching all these years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had quite a bit of good information on Sylvester's church and his preaching. Yeah. He was a star over at Muddy Creek.
Yeah.
At the dance hall over there.
He started two or three churches. Right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, we'll miss him. He's gone now.
Yeah. Geez, I didn't even know that.
But he's been a very sick man for a number of years.
Yeah. That's what I heard. In fact, when I first started this project about 4 years ago, the Mennonite Church was kind of taking over his church.
Yeah.
And they would allow, you know, when he felt well enough, he would come and preach, was my understanding, but otherwise the majority of his...
Well, I think he pulled away from them, though, and the last, he had a building there that the tribe was renting and used, one of their buildings. And he pretty well just had his own little group. And Tommy Gardner, I think's helping him now, or maybe he'll take over. I don't know. What's going to happen?
Yeah. Okay.
And let's see.
Do you know any of the other?
Well, Harold Stone, he kind of came out of this group, and he went off and started his church down at Wyola, and Sammy Black, what do they call it, Blackbird, or they call him...
Yeah. I know who you're talking about. He had his own radio station or something.
Huh?
Is it Black Eagle?
No. Black Mouth?
No. Flat Mouth.
Flat Mouth.
Oh, Flat Mouth.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's kind of from Carpenter's influence. And
yeah, he's a lodgecraft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, he helped us work with us for some. Harold Stone.
Do you know approximately when he started his?
He was along with
Philip about the same time.
There's another man.
And then there's Sammy Hoops. He was out of our Sunday school. He started his church, and then his brother-in-law Robert Domi came from that from that nucleus or that
the
little
stuff? The whole thing comes, springs from the little gatherings we started in the home.
In the home.
All from that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then we started having like camp meetings up in the mountains, and that got to be a regular thing every year, and that ended up at the big camp meetings in Grove there for Harold Carpenter. And now all the little churches everywhere, even people that just want to have one, they have them in Fort Smith and Friar and everywhere now. All the churches have them.
Keep you busy.
Oh, yeah.
You keep up with camp meetings here in the summertime. You just, in fact, they overlap. You
know? Yeah, yeah, they do quite a bit. Well, I heard 2 years ago when they were really having a tough time because I guess Pat Stans had the only tent that was workable that summer. So they were all fighting over who would have Pat Stans.
Well, Pat Stans, I think, came from. I think he came from the ministry of the carpenter.
Mm.
I believe. I'm not.
There's no way really to tell because it all just.
It just kind of
came out. Yeah.
It just kind of all unfolded around here. And, and we just kind of stayed in Crow and we didn't, you know, we were just kind of a spectator of what God was doing around here. There's Larry Little Al. He's, I think he was. Converted under Carpenter's preaching in a tent meeting somewhere.
Well, camp meetings.
Camp meeting.
You know, that just kind of spread it like.
Well, we had a big camp meeting. It had been dormant for a while.
We started the first one.
And
it was really neat. We had it over in the Round Hall, Ivan Memorial Hall. We call it a convention, 3-day convention.
Uh-huh.
And I can't remember much about it except that Tri-D was a buffalo and. Was it Grandma Adams that fixed it for the barbecue? Anyway, they dug a great big pit, looked like a grave to me, and they burned coals in it,
and
got the buffalo. She cut it up, and they soaked it in vinegar water overnight, and she wrapped it in roast-sized pieces in
cheesecloth. Gauze, cheesecloth, you know.
Cheesecloth, gauze, and anyway, then they covered the coals up with green boughs and dirt, then the green boughs, and put the meat in there, more green boughs, and then they covered it up with some more dirt and put the boards over the top of it. Ooh, that was good.
I've had it.
And then the next year, Carpenter, he wanted to do it, so we just kind of turned the camp meeting over to him, and he's, how many years has it been? 18, 20 years? I don't know.
Shortly after we came, we started with the convention. It's never quit.
Yeah.
Because
they call it I don't know if you've ever heard it called this, but they call it I've heard the Crow people call it the Golden Jubilee Revival.
Uh-huh, they use that for the one at Crow now.
Right, for the one at Crow,
and that's
right.
A group of them that have got together.
Well, 50 years ago, we started that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And it was great. We had, I think we had 3 services a day, and we had a program for the kids, and a lot of prayer. The thing that helped us, when we first started, we had a lot of prayer, a lot of prayer meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't find that much in churches around here. They don't pray much anymore.
We had a Tuesday night to pray.
We got telephone calls
from across the states asking for us to pray for them.
We had all night prayer meetings and just come and, people come. But usually people come around 9 o'clock and stay all night till sunrise. And a few people would come and go, but the basic nucleus would, all of us would stay all night, pray all night.
Mm.
And that was the strength of our program, at least, what we were doing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But like I say, not much. Seemed like there's not much prayer anymore.
Yeah, most of the people I've talked to, they're very infrequent. Yeah, that they have the house prayer meetings anymore.
And our people that in their early days, they were dependable and regular. every Sunday, you could depend on them being there.
Mm-hmm. They'd be late, but they'd be there.
We've had sometimes our service run till 10, 11 o'clock, and people could still be coming, maybe when we're dismissing on our way home. You know. But then they were intent to come to church, so.
Sure.
Be involved.
The church at Crow, the person that replaced you was Paul Kearns.
Lynn Kern.
Oh, Lynn Kern.
Lynn Kern.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then after him, was it Kenneth?
I think Kenneth. Yeah. Huh?
Yeah. Ken took over from him.
After him. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're about to run out here.
Let's see.
I guess the next question, not the next question. But what are we doing now? Well, we left Crow. Thank you. We left Crow, but the old saying is, about the country boy, Crow never left us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And whether we did the right...
Would you be interested in donuts? I think there's some here.
Sure, I'd like one. Sure.
But I can see some good and bad. You know, hindsight's better than foresight.
Yeah.
And I can see in the fact that after we left, a lot of these younger people got busy for God and picked up the torch.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that part was good. But not because of us, but years, you know, change things. And it's not only here, but a lot of other places. We see and sense a lot of deterioration in the spiritual atmosphere on the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
Do I
find these donuts tough
a little bit?
Yeah, honey, that'd be fine. So, but what we're doing now is we have an extension course from a Bible college out of Wheaton, Illinois. And they offer college credits. So what we're doing, this first phase or section of this course, we are treating now Old Testament and New Testament survey. There are two books in the Old Testament and one in the New. And each book has 12 lessons. And each lesson is a 2-hour class study, which gives you 24 class hours, gives you one college credit. And she's the teacher. I carry the attaché case and drive the car. Well, anyhow, we have four locations, one in Billings, Hardin and Crow and Lodgegrass, 2 hours a night, 2 hours an evening in each one of these places. And we have over 50, and we haven't advertised it or anything to speak of, and we have over 50 enrolled. And so we're hoping our next session we're going to try to get a little bit better advertising out. And we're projecting maybe we'll have 100 enrolled in the class. And what we're trying to do, and it's just a survey. This first thing is just a knowledge, getting people acquainted with the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's Of course, when you go through the New Testament in 12, in a 24-hour class day, you got to keep hopping, you know, pretty good. Yeah. But that's what we're doing, and we got a little property being given to us now in McCrow, and we're hopeful to get that all cleared, but we haven't, we live here now.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was one of the things that has kind of come up is what are the qualifications of the younger ministers, you know, that are starting these churches?
That's the strange thing, is we're trying to help those young ministers.
Mm-hmm.
They don't seem to be interested in study, in class study.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have one that John Bullinside.
He's built a little new church out at Fort Smith.
Oh, okay.
And he's been more or less said he wasn't a pastor, so he's had different people come in, but that doesn't usually work out too well. So he's taking the training so he can be a pastor.
Mm.
And up here in Hardin, we have it over here at the Harvest Time Church. Juanita's already ordained as near as I know, and has gone through Bible school, but she takes it regularly. And I have the up in Billings, the pastor of the, whatever the name of that church is.
I don't know what the name of that church is.
It's the Bible Center. Anyway, Rhea goes in there, and she comes regularly.
Mm.
So I've got three of them.
But our hope, our projection is that not only trying to train these people or teach them, we're hopeful we're going to train some people that if Jesus tarries, will take up this thing when we're gone.
Mm-hmm.
You need, there's
even before that, we want them to spread out. There's people over in North Dakota that need help, and these people need to come.
Mm-hmm. That's the Fort Berthold. Junior's daughter is going over there. Yeah.
Yeah. What's the name of that place? She's in Bismarck.
Oh, she's in Bismarck. Oh, I thought she was. Actually on the Fort Berthold reservation. I don't know.
Is it close? Is it close to Bismarck?
You know, I guess as far as things go in the west, yeah, it's about an hour, I think.
Well, maybe that's where her little church is out there. I don't know. But her mailing address is Bismarck.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah.
So, we're just... she's trying to get some material from the school that we had going in Crow for a while, some material to help a few of these Indian young people that's having a problem in public school. We're trying to get, trying to get something going on that. But it's pretty, it seemed like it's moving very slow. But we need a, we're trying to get some kind of a building down in Crow. Where we can.
Facilities. We don't have a place to work. The place we go, we have to pack it up in boxes and briefcases and carry it there and then carry it back.
Yeah.
This portable school, this is rough.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Sometimes we make, among us all, we make probably 6 trips to the car and six, you know, back to load
and
it back up
on
again.
On occasion, I forget something and leave it at home.
Well,
and that's bad.
Yeah.
But we're not complaining. We're reaching a few people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, was Frank Stewart kind of a lay minister in the initial part when you were first starting out?
Yes. Yes. Very. He had a very strong voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like these older people, when we were here first, like Hoops and Mike, he was not as vocal as these other, but he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And these young people knew he was there. See, it's a, but some of the, like Frank, particularly Frank and Hal, when they were alive, just their kind of kept things together.
Uh-huh.
And the younger people had, seemed to me, had more respect back there than they have now.
Yeah.
They listened better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And whatever the old folks tell the younger guys, hey, man, they lined up, shaped up. Mm-hmm. That's the way it was. Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned John Holes.
Johnny Holes, that's right. John and Agnes Holes.
His name needs to be included there if any of the family got a hold of that.
Well, you see, it was kind of, I was hesitant to even mention names.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave out somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Which I hope that people will understand.
Oh, yeah, there's, I mean, yeah, I've got, with the various tapes I've got, I've probably, at some point, everybody on the reservation has been mentioned.
Probably 50 names.
Yeah. Oh, more than that, I've got.
Well, here's the Irons in St. X. What was her name?
Helen.
Helen and Iron. And then there was Otto.
Bear Crane.
Well, there was Otto Bear Cloud, too.
Uh-huh.
Otto Bear Cloud.
But his wife was black, Lizzie.
Yeah, Lizzie.
Yeah.
Lizzie. Very, very stable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did they tell you about the snowstorm she prayed in July? Did anybody ever tell you about that?
No.
Well, you need to know that. Maybe she can tell you. You tell it.
Well,
can you hear her on this thing?
Let me see. Go ahead and I'll see.
It wasn't called a powwow. It was
I'm not
a Sundance.
It was a Sundance.
And she,
they were going to have it over in.
Yeah, I'm not picking you up.
On
the mic, if you could sit closer. It's not picking you up.
Anyway, they have this big Sundance.
Well, start all over.
And that was it.
She's start all over.
They were going to have a Sundance over in, I believe it was Pryor, and everybody was going to go. And she told them that it was wrong and that she was going to pray that the Lord would put a stop to it or either show them that it was wrong.
Uh-huh.
And she says, I'm going to ask the Lord to cause it to snow and rain and hail all in one day to show you that this is wrong.
Mm.
And it did.
Huh. It's a
pretty short story, but that's all.
Yeah.
I think it was canceled out, wasn't it?
Remember that, but that was her purpose in having it, in praying that way, was to stop it.
Yeah.
She tried to tell them that it was wrong.
Uh-huh.
And that was the way she proved to them. She prayed, and it happened. It snowed, it hailed, and rained all in the one day.
Huh.
In July.
Uh-huh. Huh. You don't know her maiden name, do you? Lizzie?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Oh, no.
Yeah, nobody seems
to know. No, she was older when we
came. Yeah, most people.
I have to tell you about Maggie Bryce.
But she lived out where Bear Cranes lived. Was she any relative of theirs?
Yep, she was.
I think she was of that family.
I think she
was.
Bear Cranes.
Uh-huh.
But I can't remember.
An Indian man told me just here a while back about Maggie Brass. And she started coming to our church right away after we started coming down here.
Mm-hmm.
Tex Goodluck told me the story. I have to go back and talk to him some more about it. But her income was about $325 a year.
Hmm.
She had some leases. She had some land, but
that's
all. And she heard, we preached, we didn't preach about money, just once in a while. Mm-hmm. Like on a steward's, hey, you're a steward of the Lord, you got to look after these things. But somehow the Lord helped us to teach these people that they needed to tithe. Mm. And to my knowledge, I never made a big issue of it. Mm. Just preached it once. Or. So Maggie Brass began to tithe. And before she died, Tex told me her leases increased, her money increased, and she was near a wealthy woman when she died because she began to tithe.
Hmm.
So I thought that was pretty good testimony.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of course, we had a lot of people come to church. They heard the message of tithing. Probably never gave hardly anything. But that's in the church life, that's what you encounter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
And the Lord, we never had a lot, but we never suffered. We never really lacked. Mm-hmm. Our kids used to tell us, when, remember Paul when he was a teenager and he ran around with these farm kids that, you know, they'd brag about their farm and how much money they had. And when when their dad was going to pass away, they're going to have the farm. And I remember one time Paul looking out the window at the parsonage. He says, well, what are we going to have, you know? So I kind of explained to him financially, I didn't have much to promise him, that we were eating and sleeping, and my wife would get up early in the morning and make shirts for the kids and so, and dresses for Ruth to wear to school. And Paul kind of got tired of homemade shirts. But after he got married and went away, he told his mother it'd be pretty nice to have a homemade shirt again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I explained to him, well, from financial standpoint, there's not much. But if there is any reward in what we're doing, because we're not doing it for reward, but we're doing it because of a conviction in our heart, the need. But I also believe there is reward. There will be rewards in heaven. But I said to him, you know, whatever there will be as a reward, all you kids will share equally with us because we're all in this thing together. But later, after they grew up, they've all told me, we're glad you stuck with it. We're glad we were raised on the reservation. That's part of our heritage. So we're still eating and sleeping and have a nice warm place to live in.
Yeah.
We meant financially, and we're not in this thing for money. Never have been. Oh, we'll never get our eyes turned. But we've been up against the wall a few times. And just at the deadline, somebody would come give us a handshake with $100 bill or $200 or $300 or even as much as $400. That just bailed us out of trouble. We've been right at that crunch, but never been overcome. So these young fellows, we've been harping on that. Tell me there's 70. I've been told more than once there's 70 young Indian, on this reservation that are aspiring to be preachers.